I don't want to get into the all the conversation that we had, but we name names. We identified people that are wicked, and they have nefarious intentions, right? And so you look at how long are they going to get away with this? Well, you know, if they're alive, when the tribulation starts, they're going to face the wrath of the Lamb. And you know, that's what I told my wife. I said they're gonna face the wrath of the Lamb, and if they're not alive, they will be facing the judgment of God in Hades. So either way, you know, these nefarious people, unless they accept Christ, they're not gonna escape.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the seventh seal. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the seventh seal.
To the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So he gives three woes, right? One woe for each trumpet that will be sounded. So things are really getting ready to heat up here. As they, you know, there was a song, and so this is not directly related, right? But it's kind of, if you can draw the analogy, there's a song by Bobby Womack. Some of you might remember this song. If you think you're lonely now, just wait until the night, right? That I guess he was saying that, you know, you let me go, you know, when you think that you're lonely. If you think you're lonely now, just wait until the night. Well, if you think it was bad up until this point, wait for these next three. Now, we see that the first four affected the earth, the water, and the skies. These last three judgments will touch human beings. And so maybe that's the reason for the three woes. Maybe that's why he's stopping after the fourth one to say up until this point, the earth, water, and skies have been affected. But now these judgments are going to fall upon human beings. And so, you know, we say woe because of this. Now, we jump into chapter 9, and John says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and it was given unto them power as the scorpions of the earth had power. So an angel falls from heaven, given the keys to a pit, opens the pit, then all of a sudden this smoke comes out. And along with the smoke comes these locusts. These locusts that are demon possessed, or that look like demons, or these, however you want to put it, angels that look like, demons that look like locusts, however you want to put it, that we see, first of all, they had the power of scorpions, right? And you think about what scorpions can do. So now we're talking again. We've moved from the elements, the sun, the earth, and the water. We've moved from the elements, and now the attack is on people, right? And they were commanded, not in verse 4, not to hurt the vegetation. So they could strike people, but they couldn't hurt the vegetation. They could, now here, man, praise God, right? They could hurt everyone except those that were sealed. And so if we go back to Revelation 7, where we see that interlude, you know, between the seals, And we read about those 144,000 that got sealed, right? That were saved. And then, you know, they were going and preaching the gospel. So they couldn't touch them. You know, these locusts couldn't touch those 144,000. And so, you know, we need to look at our lives and say that, you know, nothing can touch us until God is finished with us, right? If God protected these 144,000 Jewish evangelists during the tribulation, and that these demon-like scorpions or locusts could not hurt them, that's the same God that we serve. And he's able to protect us, and nothing can happen to us. That's why I say, you know, you're not going to leave this earth unless you do something crazy, right? Unless you're involved in something crazy, until God is finished with you. That you will be here until you have finished your testimony. You know, I think of Brother Bob Perry. And, you know, this brother was faithful, man. He was faithful to come to Bible study every Wednesday. He was faithful to serve as an usher. He was faithful to serve in the master's kitchen. And so God, his testimony was finished here on this earth. And so God took him into his presence where there's fullness of joy and there's pleasure forevermore. And so in this, man, we rejoice for this brother, you know, knowing that he was a soldier that God welcomed home. And so, you know, if we look at this, that these locusts, these demon locusts could not hurt the ones who were sealed because God was taking care of them. And so we see, you know, continue to see the description of the locusts. They were shaped like horses prepared for battle. They were poised and ready to strike. On their heads was a crown. They were wearing the Stephanos, the victor's crown, symbolizing their victory, that these creatures would have victory on this earth over the inhabitants of this earth. They had faces like men, which meant that they would be intelligent. They had hair like women, which means that they would be seductive. In John's culture, a woman's hair was thought to be seductive. They had teeth like lions, which means they are fierce and ready to rip their victims apart. They had breastplates of iron, which means that they are invincible. They are protected from harm. They sound like the wings of horses running the battle, like a rushing army, these demon-like locusts. And they had the tails of scorpions, which they could sting men. Now, we see the destruction that's caused by these locusts. In verse 6, it says, "And in those days, men shall seek death and shall not find it. And they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." I mean, these demon locusts are so bad that they strike terror in the heart of mankind. So much so that men will want to die to get away from these locusts. They will want to die to get away from these locusts, but they will be unable to do that. Notice in verse 10, "And they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months." They could hurt people for 5 months. Now, somebody said, "Well, why 5 months?" Well, I don't really see any biblical significance other than the fact that people say that the lifespan of a locust is about 5 months. So somebody said, "Well, that's where the 5 months came from." But for 5 months, they will torment human beings on this earth. Oh, saints, ain't you glad that you're not going to be here? That's why I tell people all the time, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm looking for the one that's going to take me out. And that's why, you know, this is another reason why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, is that God, if we are God's, if we are the bride of Christ, right? And I know I've said this before, but I want you to get this in your mind. I want you to get this in your heart, that if we are the bride of Christ, and this is the wrath of the Lamb, why would the Lamb pour out his wrath on his bride? That don't make sense, does it? Why would the Lamb, this is the wrath of the Lamb, why would the Lamb pour out his wrath on his bride? So that's the other reason I believe that we're out. You know, we're going to be out of here. Now look at the director. These locusts, these demon locusts had a director in verse 11. And they had a king over them, who is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue have his name Apollyon. So these demon locusts had a king, and this king was actually the angel over the bottomless pit. Now, some people say that this is the devil or Satan, but I don't believe that it's the devil, because we don't see the devil being associated with the bottomless pit until Revelation 20. So I don't necessarily think that this is Satan, but it does give the name of this demon. And I'm just going to say this is probably some high-ranking demon. His name in the Hebrew was Abaddon, and his name in the Greek was Apollyon, and both names meant destroyer. So this person will be a destroyer. He will destroy, you know, he will destroy bodies, he will destroy people, he will destroy, and again, I think that these demon locust attacks are primarily against people. You know, you look at a lot of locust plagues, and what did they do when there was a locust plague? They ate up the vegetation, right? But so I believe that these locusts are solely going to be after people. So the director of these locusts was a high-ranking demon that was named Abaddon, Apollyon, and his name meant destroyer. And now we see the sixth trumpet, where in verse 9, it says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, if things are not bad enough, right? If things are not bad enough, it says, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound in the great river Euphrates. So there were angels that were bound in the river Euphrates. And I don't know how long they had been there, but you know, when Satan got kicked out of heaven, it says that he took a third of the angels with him. And some of those angels, according to 2 Peter and to Jude, some of those angels were bound permanently, and other of those angels were bound temporarily. So maybe these were some of the angels, the evil angels, that were bound temporarily. And here's their chance to get out. Again, you know, there's some angels that, man, can you imagine that these angels did something so wicked that God bound them for eternity? God bound them and said that you'll never see the light of day again, because what they did was so heinous and so wicked. So some people believe that what they might have done was, when we go back to Genesis chapter 6, that they inhabited the bodies of people and had sexual relationships with women. And then they had these offspring that were giants. Now that's one view, and that's, and I know that's a highly controversial passage back there in Genesis 6, but that's what some people say, that their sin was so heinous and so wicked and so nefarious that God bound them forever and they'll never get out. But we see that there's some that were temporarily bound, and that would be these angels coming out of this bottomless pit, and also these angels who were in the Euphrates River, that God unleashes them. Now, the thing we see here in verse 14, we see a command is given to the sixth angel to loose these four angels from the Euphrates River, all right? And then it says that they were bound in the river, So again, as I said, when Satan fell from heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. Many of them were chained. Some were chained permanently, and some were chained temporarily. So probably in Revelation 9, these are the ones that were chained temporarily. They were only chained for, you know, a temporary time, and then they were going to be let loose. So God, like I said, in spite of everything else that's going on, now these four angels are loosed out of the Euphrates River. And as we look at the Euphrates River in the Bible, it has great significance. It was one of the four rivers that flowed out of the Garden of Eden. So the Euphrates River has been around since creation. And it was also one of the boundaries of the Promised Land. So the Euphrates River has great significance in the Bible. And then it says that these evil angels will destroy one third of the earth population. So between this trumpet and the fourth seal, over half of the earth's population will be destroyed. That these evil angels will destroy one third of the earth's population. Now, it also talks about a 200 million man army. Let me read that in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 16. And it talks about an army in verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 thousands, and I heard the number of them. And I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the head of the horses were like the heads of lions. Out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. So again, there's this 200 million man army, which many people believe, it talks about them coming out of the east. And so many people believe that this army will come from China, and they will come and cross the Euphrates River, because the Euphrates River, we read in Revelation 14, the Euphrates River will dry up, part of it will dry up. And so this 200 million man army will come into the Promised Land and do war with the Jewish people, and eventually will set themselves against Christ when he comes at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, when we look at this army, you know, here's a description here with this army. It talks about jacinth and brimstone. Fire is red, jacinth is dark blue, and brimstone is yellow. These colors represent scenes in a battle, which is high-tech weapons are being used. So again, you know, I go back and I say that John was describing something to us that, you know, he didn't know about airplanes that drop bombs. He didn't know about missiles that fired. He didn't know about tanks that fired. John didn't know that stuff. So he was trying to maybe put it in language of his day to try to explain it to his people. And so this language here that we see of this 200 million man army, you know, was describing maybe a high technological war. You know, we all have heard the news where there was a bombing over there in Poland, I believe, somewhere. And now, you know, all this talk about nuclear warfare, right? So John might have been seeing that, and he was putting it in the language that he could understand. The heads of the horses were heads of lions. The description of the lion's heads like horses symbolizes the ferocious and ruthless way in which these armies would hunt and massacre its prey. And then power in their tails. They had tails like a serpent, symbolizing their cunning and craftiness. These tails had the deceptive power to kill and to hurt, right? So again, I mean, just think if it's an airplane, right, dropping bombs. So John, you know, might have saw, you know, a plane. He described it like a serpent, and then, you know, he said that out of the tail, you know, came power to kill and to hurt. So maybe, you know, he was trying to describe bombs being dropped. So I don't know, but you know, I know just a lot of studying that I've done, you know, they were saying that John was really trying to put it in the language of the people of his day, but he was actually describing events that of our day and beyond. Now, look at these unrepentant sinners. These unrepentant sinners. All this that's going on, right? The six seals, the six trumpets, all this that's going on. It says in Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21, it says, and the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, neither can they see, nor can they hear, nor walk. Neither they repented of their murders, neither of their sorceries, neither of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So they didn't repent of their idol worship, idols that they created with their own hands, devils that they worship. They didn't repent of that. They murdered. They didn't repent of murdering other people. They didn't repent of sorceries. And that word sorcery there is the Greek word pharmakia, which we get the word pharmacy or pharmaceuticals from. So there was mind-altering substances that they continued to take, still continued to the snort. I remember Curtis Mayfield. He was doing a concert one night, and he said, everybody here whose heart is still thumping is drinking, shooting, snorting, or smoking on something, right? And people are going to continue to drink, to shoot, to snort, and to smoke, right? And maybe that might be one of their ways of trying to alleviate dealing with the wrath of the Lamb and the one who sat on the throne. They didn't repent of their fornication. Pornea, fornication, pornography. They'll still continue to be involved in sexual sin of every kind. Fornication, sex, adultery, rape, homosexuality, human trafficking, sex trafficking, all of that. It'll still be. Can you imagine that with all this happening, this stuff will still be going on? You know, you would think that men would stop somewhere and just fall down on their knees and try to get right with God, right? That they would stop and cry out for this to stop. But they continue on with their sin, unrepentant sinners. And then it says they did not repent of their thefts. You know, what happens a lot of times when there's a riot? People break in the stores and they start stealing stuff, right? So all this devastation that's going to be taking place on the earth, what are people going to be doing? And with these earthquakes and, you know, these asteroids and meteorites hitting the earth, and with darkness covering the earth, what are men going to continue to do? They're going to continue to steal, right? They're going to continue to take. And just think, even if they steal, they're not going to have it for that long, right? Tribulation. And I believe that this is actually getting toward the second half of the tribulation. So, you know, the most they're going to have it is 3.5 years. So, you know, you're going to go through all that still, something you can't even have for a lifetime.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Battle of Armageddon, part one. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Seventh Seal, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Seventh Seal. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Seventh Seal from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings of Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial donation, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, our website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.